But I saw where it was, and I said, I'm going to pull it out because, man, I haven't been right there in recent memory. I'm just going. I'm just going. You know what I mean? But I've always been in faith to, like, some people are right. We've been so impacted by your ministry. We listen to you all the time. The people in our church are excited. We use you in our Bible studies, our home groups. I'm thinking, I probably don't need to go. Because they know what I'm saying, so they got it. Now, I shouldn't tell that, because now nobody will ever write that again on an invite. They'll just sneak me. They'll say, oh, we would love you to come. But I'm thinking, well, I get a lot of invites overseas. I feel called to America right now. I feel like I'm to hit as many cities and states as I can. It's not that I don't see the value of people overseas. I just feel called to America. But if I'm getting 150 invites overseas at least in a year, that means they're listening. That's exciting. So that's pretty cool for a guy that doesn't own a computer. I'm such a caveman, and yet I'm preaching on that thing. Apparently, they said there's a lot of stuff out there. So for me to get that many invites from that many places, that means people are listening. So we weren't sure how many people had never heard, but I told him, I said, I'm really believing when I pull out a place, no matter what the reason to me, that I find that there's a whole lot of people that have never actually heard the things that are in my heart. And the reason that's important, it's super foundational. And you'll understand here in a minute, because now I know right where we're heading. And it's just really good. Do you understand that to God the Father, our lives and the redemption of our lives, the purchase of our lives, is worth the blood of his son, Jesus. Come on. Now, we've been beat down and self-conscious and low-esteemed and insecure. We've let life decide who we are, people, memories, things. So-and-so says something and they're important to us and now we're shattered or super encouraged. Yeah? At a very young age, we were nothing more than a product of what we went through and how we responded. But it had nothing to do with the real me. Not one of us knew who we were from the time you can remember. You go back as far as you have recollection, not one of us knew who we were. We were trying to find ourselves along the way. Come on, this is real. Bear with me. Bear with me. It might even get a little touchy. It might get a little emotional for some of you. Listen, we had no clue who we were. You needed stability. You needed support. You needed encouragement. You needed love. And a lot of us didn't have a lot of those things. But you needed it. You needed valued. When you started to get aware of yourself, you needed encouraged. You wanted to feel appreciated. You said something and people laughed. It made you feel good. We were always looking for who we were from the time we can remember. And there's a reason. Because what man was created to be and who he was from the beginning got lost through sin. And every man on the planet was born into Adam. Romans 5 makes it super clear. Every person in this room was born into Adam, and you must be born again. Now, we turned that into a beneficial prayer that takes me to heaven. But it's a transformed life that becomes brand new, that restores you back to what you were intended to be in the first place, where you find yourself in him. Yay. See, that's what's wrong with me. Now, I'm playing it real cool for you. Oh, no, I am. It's okay. I'm playing it real cool for you, but that's good news. You find yourself in him. We've tried to find ourselves through all kinds of things, through each other. That's why people are hurt, broken, got walls up, been burnt, jaded. Why? Because you're looking for something from men and trying to find yourself in this desperate thing. You don't know where to look, so all we do is look here. Yeah. You can only find yourself through him, because nothing was made that wasn't made through him. And if we were made in him and by him, it's in him that we find ourselves. You can't find you through a group of people. You can only find you through him. And only then can you have healthy relationship in the group of people, because when you find yourself in him, nobody owes you anything. You're finally free to be what you see you've become. And all of a sudden, you're not finding yourself through one another. Expectations aren't on others. You're not identified by people. That's why there's so much hurt. That's why people get hurt in churches. I sit on planes and people tell me they don't go to church anymore because of whatever. And it's unfortunate, because then it automatically relates to God and who God is. And when they don't have fellowship with one another, I find they don't have fellowship with him, because if you had fellowship with him, you'd be drawn to one another. It's only hurting people that are hiding behind a language that say they have this when there's no this. It's actually scripturally impossible to have this and not have this, because this is for this. Yeah. Yeah. It's just hurting people. They're hiding behind pain and a language. Adam was made with intention. God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. In verse 27, he didn't wait long. He said it, he did it. He made man, male and female, in his likeness, in his image, both male and female. So right there in the beginning, you find that woman is more than serving man. Woman's highest value is his image. You don't serve the man like we make it. The man isn't the boss. When you see in a marriage the head over the wife, it means protector. The word submit means yield and adapt to. God made man in his image. He filled man with all that he was. In Genesis 2, the story's laid out a lot more detailed. He sees Adam, Adam's name in the animals. God gives him authority. Nothing that he said was changed by the Lord. If Adam called it, so it was. So here's Adam not being upstaged by God. You see that he's flowing in the wisdom of God, the authority God gave him. He's here to subdue the earth, not be subdued by the earth, to subdue the earth. Yeah? It's not an arrogant place. It's a place that was given by the Lord. So he looks and he says, there's no one comparable. This guy is in my image. Everything that I am is in him to manifest, right? So where does he go from there? There's none comparable. So he doesn't make another lump of clay. He reaches into the fullness of God in the man. And he brings out a woman. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Woe man of the man. Not woe man. This isn't a lust thing. It's not a curves and figure thing. It's not an eyelash and lip and shape of nose thing like we've made it, because we've lived in the flesh. We were born in the flesh. And what is flesh is flesh. And all of a sudden it's lust and figures and all this stuff, and people are under pressure. And none of that from the beginning. It was God in man. And he reaches into the fullness of God in him, and he brings out the woman, and he makes one two so two could be one. It's a covenant. It's a relationship. It's the highest expression of God on the earth is a covenant marriage. It's amazing. It's two wills, two emotional makeups. There's so much diversity in two. But yet they live in oneness for a common goal, his glory, his great name. There's so much diversity in this room. But we can all live in the unity of faith. We can all wake up for the same reason. We might have different callings, different graces, different anointings. We might have different preferences. That doesn't divide us in massive diversity like's in this room. It's how you find true unity. It's not Hitler uniformity. It's unity. It's oneness of heart, one mind, one spirit. Yeah? I could be a guy, you could be a girl, I could be a Caucasian male, you could be of whatever ethnic background. That doesn't make us different. It just means we come from different, watch, of one blood, all nations, watch. I don't care what ethnic background, gender, if you wake up for his image, and if you live your life to shine and to walk in love, and I'm over in Pennsylvania doing that this coming week after I fly out of here. That's what makes us one. Come here, my brother. Help me. Help me. Turn around. Watch this. I'm sorry. Watch this. Are you going to mistake us? Bear with me. You ain't going to mistake us. We don't look nothing alike. And once you learn who we are, you ain't going to say, am I he? Is he I? Watch. We don't. But watch this. We can both look like him. And that's what makes us one. Whoa. We can both love. We can both live by the Spirit. We can both wake up to shine. Yeah? That's what makes us one. Yeah? Come on, how simple and clear is that? Unity of faith. But if we don't understand the faith, if we don't walk in one faith, he's not talking about faith to be healed. He's not talking about faith for your finances. He's not talking about faith to move a mountain. He's talking about faith as a perspective you live by. A reason for being. What you wake up for. It's not just to go to work or for somebody to love you. Because you are so loved. Man, if we ever get that, that God sent his son while we were yet sinners, striving, struggling. We were not about his business. We were about our own business, and even then we didn't like ourselves. We needed somebody to like us, to think we were likable. And the whole time, he never changed his mind about who you are and why you're here. He never changed his mind about destiny and purpose and potential. The whole time. Love never failed. God the Father believes your life is worth the blood of his son. Now, if that's not amazing, I don't know what is. To me, that's better than good news. You think I'm going to believe that and get hurt by people's stuff? And he said, she said, and well, I feel, well, I don't know why they have, well, that hurt. Not today, friend. Tomorrow's not a good day for that either. God the Father believes the blood of his son shed is worth my life lived in him. I'm going to start there. I'm going to stay there. And I'm going to live there. And in the end, I'm going to be found for faith. Ooh, that sure beats getting all bent out of shape, hurt, frustrated, saga, soap opera. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, you don't know what the last 2 months was like. You try to sell that language to Jesus. You were never crucified for being totally perfect. Oh, you might have got mistreated. Somebody might have crossed the line and did something unthinkable. I get it. We've all been touched wrong. But you ain't never been crucified for being perfect. You ain't never been killed for being pure. You ain't never been stripped naked and beat beyond description for being right. Maybe you ought to talk to Jesus about some of these little attitudes we learned on the earth. These little attitudes that never produce anything good. That always steal life and rob life and give you a reason to be less than who you are and yes. What you're paid to be. And all of a sudden you say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, what about what he's been through? When does that matter more? Well, you don't know what they said to me. Well, what did he say to you through his son? When does that matter more? Well, you don't know how they touched me wrong. Well, how right did he touch you? See, at some point, you got to put off the old and you got to put on the new. And you got to stop looking back and being Lot's wife, froze from where you were delivered and where you're supposed to be going. And you need to look up and be his bride. Yes. Come on, this is what faith is all about. I'm not being insensitive. We all have stories, but you don't have time to be so hurt that you can't manifest him. You don't have time to have so many rights now that you laid down yourself and denied yourself. And now you got all these rights, but you supposedly died and loved not your own life unto death. You've been bought with a price and you're not your own. Scripture. Believer. Yeah, but you don't know how I feel. No, I probably have an idea. But the just live by. And at some point, you got to let truth cross that line and align those feelings, get you back to sobriety in the spirit. Because if you live by feelings, you're coming and going, and you're like the wind, just blown around, and the waves of that sea just toss. And all of a sudden, you're just going to live for better circumstances instead of his great name. All of a sudden, you're going to live for somebody to do you right when you've been done right. And all of a sudden, you're going to let what one man did or said decide who you are, but their name's not Jesus, and that's a problem. Come on, it's the gospel. You got to guard your heart, friend, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. You got this one little crack at it. It's called life. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. I'm 57. That's not like, well, that's getting there. But that's not old. I don't know what that means, 57 in the kingdom. It's fun. But I know I'm not 17. And I know I ain't 37. And I know I ain't 47, but it was yesterday. We telling stories now. And after we're done telling them, we realize it was 35 years old, that story. Am I telling the truth? But it seems like yesterday. Here today, gone tomorrow. You were given this one little gift called life. There's a time to be born. He's the author and giver of life. You're sitting here, my friend. Your life itself is the will of God, or you wouldn't be here. There's 500 million sperm cells racing to an egg in your mama, and it was you. You better hurry. Predestined before the foundation of the world. They can all go wherever they go, but I'm getting in. It was me from the beginning. You're not one in millions. You're one of millions. Because there was a lot of possibilities on that day. You say, well, I think my dad was drunk, and my mom, they wasn't even married. I think he forced himself on my mama. I don't even think I was supposed to be. I'm an accident. Rubbish. There's a time to be born. There's a time to be born. Well, ain't nobody even loved me when I was born. There's a time to be born. Somebody saw your day before it was seen. You better separate yourself from this natural stuff, and you better start thinking spiritual stuff. You better believe Matthew 23:9 and call no man on earth your father. You say, well, I ain't never had a father, and he ain't never been there for me. You have a father. He's in heaven. Call no man on earth your father. Let's stop letting our identity wrap around natural things when the truth is found in him. Well, you don't know my upbringing. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what it's like growing up in my home. You don't know what... Stop. Stop. Call it all dead. Say, man, if those people in my life knew who they were in love with God and filled with Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have did what they did and said what they said. I'm going to show mercy. And I'm not going to let what they didn't see become my vision if he's the light of the world. Oh, come on. What good would it be if we go around this room and everybody just tell their story? All the hell we've been through. and all the bad stuff. And at age 4, and then when I was 8, and I couldn't go to break because by the time I was 11, and you know what we would do by the end of the stories? We'd go through this whole room and just everybody tell where they've been through and what they've been through. All we would locate is who's been through the worst. And then we wouldn't even know what to do. The best we could do is feel sorry for them because it was worse for them than it was for us. But how would that help? And what would that have anything to do with truth, what we were created for and what we were called to? What are we going to do? Just keep talking about all the hell we've been through and keep singing it's all about heaven and not get the point? It doesn't matter my dad was never there for me growing up. It doesn't matter he was an alcoholic. It doesn't matter my mom was 40 years sick. It doesn't matter I changed her diapers and carried her to bed and watched her die at a younger age than she could have. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Now that he's come.
Jesus.
You used to find yourself through that stuff, but now that he comes, you find out he's the way.
Yeah,
you find out he's the truth. You find out he's the life.
Yeah. Yeah.
All my life I'm trying to drink out of dry cups. No wonder I'm thirsty. Needing something that somebody can't give me. Drinking out of dry cups. Man, that could be your relationship. That could be a needs-driven moment in your life. Just drinking out of a dry cup. Well, I just wish my dad said he loved me. Hey, that would be great, but that has nothing to do with truth. If he has no capacity, why are you trying to drink where it's dry? I found a word in my Bible. I heard somebody in my Bible say, if you'd asked of me, I'd give you a drink. And I would give you living water. And one drink, and you'll never thirst again. What's he talking about? Identity, finding yourself in him, knowing who you are. Well, I'm just praying. My mama, she's never, and I'm just praying that one day she just blesses me. Look, that would be great, but don't let it become an idolatry. If she never does, you're no less blessed. I found too many scriptures in my Bible. It says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Ephesians 3 is to be filled with all the fullness of God. What's that look like? I looked up the term, all the fullness of God, because what does that look like? It means a house with no empty rooms. It means a town with no empty houses. It's a ship so full of cargo that there's no place to put another box. Fully and completely occupied, no vacancy. To know the love of Christ. Watch. To know the love of Christ which passes is to be filled completely and fully. Colossians 2 says that he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily and you are complete in him. Right before it says that, it says, beware lest any man cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit and the wisdom of the world and the traditions of men, just the basic principles of life. Beware lest you be robbed and buy into something you're not when your life is found in him. Next thing you know, we're more concerned about our hair color, our height, our weight, our looks. All of a sudden, we're getting driven by the natural and the flesh. Some people are better off than others. Some people are blessed. Don't know what happened to me, brother. All of a sudden, we're comparing ourselves among ourselves. All of a sudden, we're setting a standard of what is and what isn't, and people live under pressure. Oh, it breaks my heart. It's the whole time. You got blood speaking better things. You got Christ crucified and raised from the dead. And God saying, why don't you get up? I love you. I want to fill you with my spirit, my nature, my character, my heart, my ways. And I want to make you shine. Wonder if we're on the earth to shine. Wonder if the whole reason mercy woke us up today is to give us one more day to shine. We trying to make it, whatever that means. We trying to fit in. We trying to be liked. You post that thing on the internet and you hope you get that right there. And God forbid you get one of them. You're reading that. You're And now you ain't even ready for that. Now you're insecure because you got that. And you're the one that posted it trying to get that, but you got that. Now you're really shook. See? Y'all giggling because I ain't that far off. All of a sudden you're reading comments. Who does and who doesn't. And if you don't know who you are, you ain't even in a safe place. All of a sudden you're moved by the opinions of men. I've been around folks, I'm not trying to be mean. They say, well, I got 1,000 friends on Facebook. No, you made contact with 1,000 people. And half of them will devour you as soon as they don't agree with you. They ain't friends. They contacts. You brushed against them in a social world. What a friend I found. Whew. Closer than a brother. That was my mainstay song when I got saved. I played it in my bedroom for hours on end. I just sat on my bed and cried. Because for the first time in my life, I had a best friend. I'm just telling you. My coworkers used to say, you got brainwashed. I said, my brain has been thoroughly washed. Things that mattered so much just don't matter anymore. And things I couldn't even see, I see clear. Now I understand a gift called life. So you live it for His name and His glory and for the sake of others. And you realize people are not your enemy. If they're living a certain way, they just don't know Him. You're supposed to. At least you say you do. Probably ought to make Him a little more known through your attitudes and your responses. Instead of claiming Him and living like you never met Him. Hiding behind your language instead of letting your light so shine. You can let a lot of things take the place of knowing Him. But knowing Him is the transformation of your life. So here we are. I don't even know what we're doing right now. We all right? We all right? Okay, good. I'm just checking in with you. I'm on a journey with you. I didn't bring my notes. They're laying over there. I brought them. I'm kidding you. I got them. My notes are here. I was in a pastor's conference, doing a pastor's conference, and it was a man, could have been my daddy. He said, is there any questions for Dan? And it was so humbling because they were pastoring twice as long as I was saved. And I'm the speaker. And at the end, they're weeping. It was a powerful time. And the elderly fellow said, yeah, I was just wondering if I could please just have a copy of your notes. Because, I mean, I poured out my heart to these men, and I went over and I zipped my Bible up and I said, well, it's pretty dear to me, but if you need to have them, and I threw my Bible on his lap. I just gave him all my notes. Come on, I'm not being weird about this. I'm not being a hardcore guy either. You're either going to believe it or you're not. You're going to either buy in, right, with your own heart and commitment because he bought you. You're going to say, okay, I'm in. Are you going, yeah, but, and talk your way around, grab what you like, and talk around what challenges you? Or are you just going to let this thing change you? Because let me just nutshell it for you. It's this simple. He made us with intention to manifest Him, to model Him, to multiply Him. That intention got lost through sin when Eve followed another voice. And got deceived, Adam ended up following her because God said you heeded the voice of your wife instead of me. So what happened? Serpent comes, speaks another language, deceives Eve. She follows. She becomes a disciple of that language and multiplies that same language into her husband. Her husband says, okay, and follows her instead of God. And the creative value of man got lost through sin, but not lost in God. Because he's love, and love never fails. And on your darkest day, he didn't lose sight of why you're here. On your most rebellious adventure, he didn't lose sight of purpose and destiny. He said, oh, you're way more than that. You just don't know who you are. He didn't get repulsed, and he didn't freak out, and he didn't elbow Jesus and say, really? He didn't. When sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Not to empower sin and enable sin, to overtake it and crush it and pull you out of it. To teach you that you're so much more. It doesn't say, for God was so frustrated and at wit's end with humanity, he sent his son. It says, for God so. And when you looked at us, there wasn't anything to love. So if you don't explain this thing, people are confused. Well, why would he love me? Well, why would he give his life? Well, why does he care about me? Well, I ain't never done that. Why would he? That was me growing up. Anybody else? Anybody else struggle with why would he love me? Come on. Because there wasn't nothing about us to love. So then why does he love us? It's purpose, potential, creative value, the truth. Jesus came and became a lie. He took who we were upon himself so that who he is could come back inside of us. Yes. Come on. He was beat beyond description on the cross. Read your Bible. Isaiah 52, marred more than any of the sons of men. There was no man that came out of the beating by the hands of men like Jesus that appeared worse than Jesus. Marred more than any of the sons of men. You take the worst affliction on a human being by human beings, Jesus came out worse. Come on. Men have been mutilated, totally unrecognizable. When men were done with men, you couldn't tell if they were male or female. How do you burn somebody alive on a stake? How do you boil them back in their days in oil and you pull them out of the oil and you're going to tell me you can tell who they were? Marred more than anybody ever was marred, Jesus. Beat again and again and again and again till he was so mutilated and so disfigured that he was unrecognizable. Well, why couldn't they just put a few stakes in there and get a little blood to flow? Why'd they have to beat him beyond description? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. So Jesus lost his appearance to pay the price to get our identity back and get the Spirit of God back inside of us. You think I'm going to be embarrassed of him? You think I'm going to soft pedal this gospel? He came and said, you to me are worth my life. And I will die to put my spirit inside of you. He did not pay a price to take me to some physical place called heaven someday. He paid a price to put heaven back inside of me. And then I become one with the eternal one, and of course I'll never die. That's pretty cool. The goal of my salvation isn't going to heaven someday. The goal of your salvation is in heaven someday. That's what we preach all over America. The goal of your salvation is your transformation, coming out of darkness into the light. Putting off the old, putting on the new. The goal isn't just your safety, your well-being, your provision, your protection. The goal is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be very careful you don't get lulled to sleep in this country just listening to messages that benefit you without transforming you. That allow you to get something from him without becoming something because of him. Don't you think it's just okay to complain? You complain. Paul says, don't you ever complain. It's in 1 Corinthians 10. Don't you ever complain and be like they were in the wilderness, devoured by the one who devours, destroyed by the destroyer. Don't you complain and become like them. Why? Because when you complain, it's all about you. You ain't satisfied. You ain't happy. It ain't enough. If Jesus would have complained, dead giveaway, we're finished. He doesn't say a word. He's going to the cross. He doesn't deserve a thing. He's taking it all that we could go free. He told me to follow that, Ken. He didn't get halfway to Golgotha and have an analytic outburst and think, wait a minute. Could you picture that? Jesus carrying the cross. Wait a minute, this is nuts. Are you kidding me? Look what they've done to me. They've beat me and beat me. I've done nothing but good. Father, I fed their bellies. I raised their dead. I healed their sick. I cleansed their lepers. And this is what they do. Man, if they didn't change by now, they ain't changing. I've had enough. I am not taking another step. Barabbas, are you kidding me? I've been thinking about it all the way up here, Barabbas. He killed a man. I raised the dead. He causes conspiracy, and I'm making peace. And they want to do this to me? I've had enough. He can't do that. He can't even think that. He can't even say that. Why? Because he's Jesus, because he's love. Don't miss it. Don't miss the point here. He can't even think it. Not because he's Jesus. Don't make him a special man. What makes him special? He's love. And we ain't never been loved like this before. Whew. He can't even think that stuff. Why? Because love never fails.
Hallelujah.
I'd say that's extraordinary news. That's better than good. So he says, so if you want to come after me, if you decide you want to follow me, there's something I need you to do. I need you to deny yourself. You know what we teach? Pray a prayer. Just pray a prayer called the sinner's prayer so you can go to heaven. Jesus never said it. He said, here's what I need you to do. If you're going to come after me and follow me, I need you to do something. You've got to deny yourself. Yeah. Guys, it's the biggest problem on the earth is what he's saying. Look, I never made you for you. I made you for my image. Biggest lie on the planet is every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for his image. Yeah. Yeah. And now we preach a gospel that's self-centered, self-focused, that serves us instead of changes us. Yeah. So now we Christian but have the same old attitude. We're Christian, we're still mad at our boss and praying for a new job because we can't stand the people we work with. Oh, that's a dead giveaway. That you sing to him, but you don't know him like you could. Oh, it's religion. It's a dead giveaway. I'm not being mean. There's not a mean bone in this. It's convicting. All of a sudden, you bring him into old things. And all of a sudden, you can't bring new wine into an old wineskin. It won't contain the wine. The wine will be spilled out. And all you'll have is a language, not a life, that's lived. And all of a sudden you'll let your language take the place of knowing him, but knowing him transforms you. Don't you get caught in this thing. Ooh, I felt the room shift. You all were liking me a minute ago. Keep liking me. Keep liking me. I am being mean. I'm calling you on this thing. You can't incorporate him into your life. This isn't Jesus incorporated. This is Christ in me. This isn't, I asked Jesus into my heart. No, you gave him your life. If anyone cometh after me, let them first deny themselves. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for his image. If you don't wake up and pursue his image, that's why life feels tough. That's why it seems like a grind. That's why people detest the day when the sun's coming up because they can barely make it through because life is bleep and life is blank. Life is a gift. And the only reason it feels that way is because you're living it outside of why you're here. So there's no empowerment from God. So you're living outside of grace. No wonder it's a grind. Come on. Your hearts are hearing this. Come on, this isn't hard. This thing is simple. It is simple. He modeled a life we were created for and said, follow me. Yeah? You can't seek your own. You can't be a Christian for you. It's unscriptural. You're not just a Christian for the well-being of your family. Go ahead and pray for protection, but don't live in fear. You're not a Christian for the well-being of your family. You're a Christian so you can shine and manifest Jesus. Because if you're a Christian for the well-being of your family, now your family's a target. All it has to do is look like something's unsettled and you're a wreck. And now you're on every prayer chain and falling apart. And all of a sudden, life is deciding how you're doing instead of him. And all of a sudden, life is speaking way louder than truth. And that's a problem because it's truth that makes you free. No wonder there's not a lot of freedom in a lot of church-attending people. Because they're letting life decide who they are and how they are. So however it's going is how I'm doing. So you ask the average Christian, how you doing? They tell you their two biggest trials and throw in a keep me in prayer. You're doing way better than that. You just don't know it. You get tricked into sometimes thinking you're a Christian for life to go better. How can't that be selfish? How can't that be self-centered that you're going to allow your circumstances to rule your disposition, your level of encouragement, your output? Well, then Satan says, you're a sitting duck, man. He'll just appear to mess with you. And he's got your focus. And all you're doing is looking at your circumstances and everybody's walking by you, but nobody can see the light. Let your light so before men. So anything that takes away the light is deception to you. Anything that takes away the light is a lie. Because the reason you're alive is to shine. So if it takes away the shine, then you're being deceived. Because the only reason you're alive is to shine. You're not just alive for safety, protection, provision. You're alive to shine. So Paul said, there's times I have plenty, there's times I don't have enough, but I'm the same. Why? I'm here to shine. I might be going through a season of symptoms and trial, and I've been prayed for, and nothing seems to change, but I know what? He has not changed, and he's good, and he loves me, and purpose is the same, and I don't even have the answers to the questions that are trying to attack my mind, but I'm going to let my heart be settled on the things I know. Then I will not change. And I believe he's good, or he'd have never sent his son. Well, if God's so good, then why? And then how come? If God wasn't good, why'd he send his son when you were yet a sinner? And now the clay wants to indict the potter and run him through the court of his mind and indict him on all the charges and find a holy and perfect God guilty. That's a sign of the fall. That's puffed up pride. The foolishness of God, whatever that means, is wiser than men's wisdom. Let's stop thinking we're so wise. You all right?
Yes.
Come on, this is humbling. It's like, yeah, duh, whoa. Yeah? Come on, this is your altar call. Whoa, duh, yeah, what? That's your altar call. And then you get up and you walk out of here and you don't look back at that thing.
That's right.
You say, whoa, I got me answers tonight. You don't leave here and say, boy, I don't even know if I'm barely saved. No. You say, oh my goodness, there's light on the trail. Confusion's removed. I've been buying into wrong things. I've been letting everything else matter. I've been letting things matter more that don't matter most. I've been deceived. I've been fixed on wrong things. Oh my goodness, I got a light on the trail. This thing is making sense to my heart.
Yes, yes.
Woo, that sure beats, boy, I got a long way to go. No, you got somewhere to go.
Yes.
There's answers in everything I'm saying. You got an answer in everything I'm saying. But you can't let your heart be hard. You can't make this about somebody else. You can't say, well, you don't know the spouse I'm married to. What about the God that lives in you? What about his attitude? What about his nature? What about his motives? What about his ways? What about his disposition and personality? Why are you letting where your spouse isn't decide where you are if he's the Lord? Well, they're supposed to love me. No, you're supposed to love. Stop. I wonder if you let the gospel teach you this, that every day you wake up, nobody owes you a thing. because it was the Father's good pleasure to give you all things concerning the kingdom. I wonder if you honestly in your marriage actually believed that your spouse didn't owe you anything and you were honored to lay down your life and love them. That would end a lot. You know why I talk this stuff so bold? Because I live it. And nobody will talk me out of it. I see this thing. I cross lines of no return. My wife doesn't owe me a thing. She does not rule my disposition. Jesus does. If she's struggling, I love her. If she's not struggling, I love her. If she's really struggling, I love her. And I understand that if she was doing okay and seeing clear, she'd be doing different and living different. So mercy rises in my heart, not frustration. Why? Because when I got saved, I threw away all expectation, my expectations from the Lord, and He's faithful. I'm not putting my trust in flesh. I am done being tricked into finding my identity through my spouse. I'm privileged to love. Here's what I found out. When God made man in His image, God is love. So guess what He made man to do? God made man to love. When man fell and got separated from God and got cut off from the source of love, guess what happened to man? He went from being love to needing love. Come on. And everybody in this room, who's water? Yours? Awesome. Hand delivered. I thought you were prophetic and thought I was thirsty or something. I was like, Lord, no one has ever rolled a water right to me. That was amazing. I would have been, I wish I was thirsty. I would have just popped in and said, thank you, Jesus. And she just said, He just drank my water. But because of what He's preaching, I can't be mad. He made man to what? To love. Every one of us needed love. A lot of our relationships, don't get insecure when I say this. A lot of our relationships are more I need you than they ever were I love you. That's why there's animosity, frustration, exchanges, expression. That's why you can come together and actually bear children and still beat each other down with words. Women aren't on the earth to scratch a man's itch. And women aren't on the earth to itch and feel alone. We're on the earth to love one another. It has nothing to do with sex drive and sexual need. It has to do with covenant and laying down your life and becoming one in purpose. And if we would ever get that, man, it would crush this drive of neediness that has grabbed all of us at some level. It's the need to fit in, the need to feel wanted, the need to be accepted, the need to feel beautiful, to feel like a woman, the need for a man to need, the need for a woman to want. Come on. Yes. So we say, I love you, and it's not that at all. It's I need you. You're making things work for me. Don't jump ship. Don't pull out. Don't break my heart. I don't know what I'd do without you. That is not flattery. That's idolatry. There's only one that deserves that. There's only one you really, truly couldn't do without, even though you have closeness and friends and spouse and love and who knows, there's physical loss and it's real. But there's only one that you can't live without. Paul covers it all. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, yet physical loss is real. But we don't grieve as if we have no hope. Why? Because we're not just living for today, we're living toward that day. We actually believe the blood of Jesus. We believe there's no death in Christ. We believe everybody that knows Him is alive anyway. So we believe they're well, and we all say that to crutch up our emotions. But if we really believed it, we'd just live all the more towards Him and all rejoice one day together that we all believed and say, yay. The worst I can lose is physical moments of time with individuals. We've won for eternity. Like, I'm never going to die. So all my loved ones and relatives could die around me, but they're not dead in Him. We're all going to be alive in Him. So you grab a hold of that. You don't grieve as those who have no hope. And then you don't wear death on your countenance. Discouragement, despair. Come on. It's Friday night. Sunday, people are going to fill churches all over this country. And you know how many of them are going to go to church and be discouraged? and have life speaking louder than truth and need prayer and wear discouragement on their face. And some of them, unfortunately, will be trying to draw attention, self-conscious, self-focused, needy, being reduced to the highest grace is that somebody seems to care about me. It's a very lonely place to live. So all of a sudden now, again, you're setting people up to fail you, and they didn't even recognize, and they're so insensitive, and I ain't never going back to that church. That's not a loving church. It should have been. You were there. You see? You see how sneaky selfishness is? Where it's just all about you, trapped in your little world with a Christian language wrapped around you? This thing's about becoming something, not getting something. Becoming something. Come on. There ain't nothing I'm saying you can't live if you wrap faith around it. There ain't nothing I'm saying that you can't live even if the people around you don't want nothing to do with what I'm saying. So at some point you have to answer, what am I going to do with this Jesus? Am I going to let everything else matter more? Or am I going to let him matter most? Am I really going to let him be Lord and govern my life? Yeah, it's easy for you to say, brother, but you ain't married to my spouse. Why are you letting your spouse continually decide your life and be focused on where they're not, and now you're not because they're not? Let me tell you what that is. That's a dead giveaway that you need them for something only Jesus can give. And now you're not doing what you're here for, loving them in the midst. Well, they're going to make me a doormat. Well, I'm going to be enabling them. Well, they'll just stay the same then. How did God get to you? He loved you when you were unlovable, unlovely. When you were getting it all wrong, he just made you right. When you were an enemy in your mind by the way it worked in self-centeredness and twisted in enmity to God by wicked works, he reconciled you through the death of his son. Ain't that something? Come on. We were talking about this. They asked me, where did this revelation come from? Who imparted this to you? No one. I saw it when I got saved. I went to my bedroom and I held my Bible and clutched it to my chest and I said, there's so many people saying so many things about you. I grew up in church, but I went 13, 14 long years in emptiness and didn't even know you. You have to show me who you are. You have to reveal yourself to me, and I believe you will. And I just sought him. And he says, if you seek him, you'll find him. And I just kind of threw everything to the side that I was ever taught. Because all I ever was a forgiven sinner. All I ever was a puzzled Christian that said, great, he did what he did, and I actually believe it, but why? And I sure don't live up to it, and I feel bad that I put him through that because I can't change. And I had all that going on in me until this revelation came. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit started opening up Scripture to me, and I realized, oh my goodness, he didn't pay a price to take me to heaven. He's restoring something that was lost. Yes. He's redeeming. He's taking me back to the beginning as if sin never happened. He's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He sees me as righteous. He calls me a saint, a friend. He filled me with the same Spirit to raise Christ from the dead. The blood really does speak better things. He sees me as if nothing ever went wrong. So if I see me that way, then I'll start seeing you that way. Now I can finally have a healthy relationship and touch you sincerely without needing anything from you. And all of a sudden I don't go to church where you go hoping you notice me and make me feel better, and all of a sudden you're not my life support. There's life in me. So now I can finally have a healthy relationship with you with no string attached. I can actually love you now. Yay! Isn't that awesome? You don't have to believe me. Time will tell that I'm telling the truth. I don't understand the whole hurt and the pain and the unforgiveness thing that we all have been through anymore. I do not wake up for you to love me. I did not come here so you receive me or treat me nice or say something special. I came here because I believe the gospel and I wanted to come. And they sent me an email and I said, I'll come. I'd love to be more spiritual. I'm here because I believe what I'm preaching.
Yes.
You don't owe me a thing. It's an honor to sow seed and trust that it'll land somewhere and grow something good. Yeah? Come on. That sure beats insecurity, self-consciousness, low esteem. You'd be amazed if I asked you to be really super honest. How many people for a serious season in their life didn't feel good about themselves or even like themselves? You'd be shocked how many hands would go up if we were honest. And the whole time, his blood was speaking better things and he loved you and saw you for what you were created for. And the only reason you felt the way you were is because you were finding your identity through so many other things instead of the truth. Guys, I'm going back to this thing again. He shed his blood for us. God put himself in a woman. Freaks me out to this day. It's not an Easter story to me. God really did this. He put himself in the womb of a woman. Like if you'd have been carrying God, and then you give birth to God. And then you nursing God. And you changing God's little diaper. This thing was real. God put himself in the womb of a woman by the person of Holy Spirit. He was born of her. He sat in there for like 9 months. God, why? He had to come as a man to fulfill what man failed and win back what man lost. And man was made to love. He got cut off from God, so he got cut off from the source of love. He became in need of love. Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. You and I needed love from the time we can remember. We weren't waking up to be love. We were desperately in need of it. And we looked for it on every angle, everywhere. And even when it wasn't there, we tried to believe it was. And but it's so backwards. Because not one of us, when I read the Bible, I realized not one of us was on the earth to be so dependent on one another in the way of love and need love so bad. We were created to be filled in him and love one another. Love fulfills the law. It does no harm to a neighbor. Yay. Like this is so childlike simple. Every hurt, every discouragement, every disappointment that lingers and stays is just the absence of love. It's just a lack of a revelation of love. God, never did somebody come to this altar and the Lord, he's just sitting here and he's, now you come. Yeah, look at you cry. Why didn't you cry 6 months ago when I convicted you big time? Why'd you ignore the voice of my Holy Spirit? Hey, you. Yeah, where have you been, man? Like now you just went up here and make a scene and cry. 6 months ago, you could have obeyed my voice and saved a lot of pain and hell and hurt. Listen, I'm not even sure where we stand anymore. You know, it's good I don't slumber because you would have kept me up all night. I'll tell you, I just ain't feeling it right now where we're concerned. So I'm going to talk to the elders. I'll pull Michael and Gabriel in on it. We'll just chat a while and I'll see where we stand. I'll get back with you tomorrow. It sounds so foolish when you make that the Lord, because we know that's not him. Why isn't it foolish when we live that way? We're made for his image. And if Christ in us is the hope of glory, where's that fit in our lives? If it sounds foolish in him, it ought to sound just as foolish in us. Listen, I learned this a long time ago. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. That's pretty simple. If it was apple juice, you'd be freaked out. It would be weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Wonder if Satan's learned you're just a squeeze away to reveal your motive and why you're in this thing. You're just one squeeze away to reveal your motive and why you're in this thing. Just one little squeeze will give you away. Just a little bit of adversity. Watch this. Yeah. Little bit of adversity. Watch. Little bit of adversity on top of a little bit of adversity. Brother, don't speak that over my life. Why? Because you know you're afraid and you know it'll change you and make you who you are. Why we pray against fire? Because we're afraid of it. I'm not picking a fight. I'm not being arrogant. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. He'll deliver you out of them all. Sometimes not because he puts out the flame, because he gives you a healthy perspective. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. In me you have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If you overcome the world, why do I got tribulation? He gave me a different view to live by. He showed me the way. He gave me the truth. My eye's different than it used to be. I used to feel sorry for myself. Now I love people. I used to get frustrated. Now I feel merciful. I used to get mad. Now I like to make peace. I used to judge you. Now I want to see you saved. He changes things. He changes where you live from. Your reason for being. He puts a new why in your life. Like, what makes you tick? Why are you a Christian? Why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? You'd be amazed how many answers are out there. If the gospel's a survival kit, no wonder we're in trouble. If we're a Christian to make it, no wonder life's voice is louder than his word. Are you with me? See, if you can't find what you're thinking and feeling and believing in Jesus' life, it'd be a real good idea to throw it out of yours. If it doesn't fit, if the thing you're saying and doing doesn't fit when you put it on him, it'd probably be a good thing to get it out of yours. Who ever read in their Bible? Let's do another little illustration. Who's ever read in your Bible where Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives on the rock and he was just bummed out? Peter come walking up. Hey, Lord. Hey. You okay, Lord? What's the matter? Nothing. I'm fine. No. Oh, but Lord. Peter, just stop, man. You don't understand. Look, man, I got so much on my plate. I mean, you don't understand. Like, God lets me discern the hearts of men. I wish he didn't. It's pretty hard to handle. You know, you're doing good, you're healing, you're feeding them. I fed them all the other day. Remember I fed them all the other day? Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. And the only reason they tracked me down is because they wanted to eat again. They could care less what I'm saying. But, I mean, their hearts, they're like, their lips praise me. Their hearts are a million miles away. I'm bummed today. I just don't think I can handle it. I go out there and they go, act like they love me. I'm like, and then here comes John. No, John, not today. No. Stop. Come here. I'm going to. It's so weird when you put Jesus there. But it's so normal when we're there and we justify it. We expect everybody to sympathize. But you're made for his image, and the Christ in you is the hope of glory. And as he did, so will you do in this world. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So I guess we're back to, what do we believe? Is it just God for me or God in and through me? Is it God taking care of me or is there God making me brand new? Because when you paint that illustration and make it Jesus, it don't fit. And he made us for his image and said, follow me. Man, don't miss this thing, church. It's the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. When this thing came alive in my heart, I just told you I'm the best preacher in the planet, or what did I try to say? No, what I'm saying is this revelation can't be missed. It's the best news that whether you knew it or not, you were more than what you understood. And love never changed its mind about one of you.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus was shed, and his blood is speaking better things. And no matter how obstinate, arrogant, rebellious, or far off you were, he said, that ain't you. I know your purpose, your potential, and your destiny, and I paid a price to restore it. Not just to put your name in a book called life, not demeaning that, but to put life in you.
Yes.
See, on the night I got saved, it had nothing to do with going to heaven. It had to do with becoming the man he intended me to be.
Amen.
From the beginning. Because if it has to do with going to heaven, I just might stop there. And I might have a confession without an expression. And then nobody will see the light of the world. Just another man getting something from him instead of becoming something because of him. You with me? Come on, we can live this thing. It just takes you saying, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm done with me, myself, and I. Here's how you know this thing is so right. On Sunday, we could fill every church in this country in every seat, and it probably won't change a thing. But if we start becoming love, if we start walking in mercy and forgiveness and making peace, if we start letting the goodness of God come out of us and lead others to repentance, you'd go to church the rest of your life, get thrown into crisis, and respond like the man that never went to church. The gospel has to be more than that. Maybe it's not about just going to church. Maybe it's becoming her. And nothing wrong with this. I have a blast. Maybe we've learned how to do amazing church. But in the process, we run the risk of failing to become her. Because all the church, sudden church is something we do, and now we're shopping for a good one. Or church is something we've become, and we're living by the Spirit and walking in love. That's just good, solid stuff right there. You all right?
Yeah.
Come on. If, and I'm not being sarcastic, if you're mad at what I'm saying, that is a real warning sign. If you're mad, that's a super warning sign that you've become super religious. And you've gotten trapped in the form of a thing without the power of it. Because there's nothing I'm saying that's even remotely offensive. Except for your religion. Religious stuff is bad. I don't always say that, but I felt that in my heart. I don't know if you're here, but if you're mad at what I'm saying, that's a real warning sign to you, friend. That you're trying to hold on to something that should long been dead. Don't defend the baby if it wasn't born of him. Yeah? I'll probably spare you all. I'll probably wrap it up here. No. Don't do that to me. Because I will say, amen, I have one here that said go. Because I don't wind down. I don't land. I just look at the time and stop. I'm not a very graceful lander. I don't know how to land at all. You know what? I've never heard the control tower say, bring it in, Dan. Ever. I've never gotten the signal. We're just, and all of a sudden, just stop, mid-flight. That's just the way I do. I'm not strategic, casting the net. I'm just, stop. And then I let you have to deal with whatever I said and trust Holy Spirit. Yay. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to stay right there. Really, I'm not doing an altar call for what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching, your heart's your altar call. You can do an altar call. It's just you. When do you just live true to your conscience? When do you be the good steward of your heart? When do you just be your best accountability partner? And you learn to live upright and sincere and do justice to your own conscience. And you just walk out of here and say, okay, self, you're dying. And we're becoming one with Jesus. And you just make some strong declarations. And then you begin, and we'll probably talk about it tomorrow morning. You start really growing in fellowship with God and in prayer. Because you're saved by grace through faith. So every time you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth your reality without you biting your lip to change. You get alone with God and want to be changed. You get alone with God and want to be loved. You get alone with God and say, you know what, Lord, I just give up the right to unforgiveness. It was never mine in the beginning. Self-centeredness gave me that right. I died to everything I ever am, so all that you are, you can be in me. Lord, I just give up the right for unforgiveness, stress, frustration, and strife. God, I thank you. I'm a man of peace. Holy Spirit, thank you for the thing you're working in me called your kingdom. And next thing you know, you're just living different. Why? Because you've been with him and you're saying yes. And his yes is being met by grace and empowerment. Your yes is being met by his grace and empowerment. All of a sudden, your life's starting to shift and change in the thing you're desiring. All of a sudden, the thing that frustrated you, you wonder why you were frustrated. All of a sudden, you look at somebody, instead of getting irritated, you actually have compassion. Why? Because you've been with him and you've prayed and you believe that his heart is inside of you. And when you look through your eyes, you see what he beholds because you want to walk in love. Yes. I'm done being selfish. I'm done complaining, Father. I just thank you for washing me of everything I've ever done in the flesh and empowering me to live more by the Spirit. And I'm saying yes to love. Thank you for turning this light on inside of me, awakening my heart. I'm all in. You start talking like that when nobody's looking. You start talking like that in the bathroom, getting ready for work, instead of saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do today if I have to work beside Johnny. He is such a pain. And then you call that prayer. Well, I prayed. I asked the Lord that I could work beside somebody else. People pray that way all the time. When I pastored a church, they would come and say, can you just pray I get a new job, Pastor? When you pray, it just seems like God really moves and shows up, and they spiritualize it. And they're like buttering me up to pray for them to get a new job because they're ticked off at people. And I'm like, I never pray that for you. I pray God balls and chains you at that workplace. Keeps you there for the rest of your entire life till you get a revelation. Because if you leave for that reason, you'll take that reason with you, and that motive will never change. God's not enabling you to stay the same. Listen, my wife prayed for me for 13 years to change. I was not fun to live with. She was a young, precious wife that was born again, and I told her I was a Christian because it helped. But if she wasn't needy and insecure, she would have recognized I was a liar. And there wasn't one thing about me that remotely looked like Jesus. But I just had a Christian background. I went to church because mom made me. I figured that's Christian. So I told her I was a Christian and we got married. And I said, well, I ain't going to church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What do you mean you're not going to church? I ain't going to church. I don't want to go to church. You can go to church. And don't get stupid on me and cry. Oh, I was awful for 13 years, awful, unloving, insensitive, awful. I told her I didn't want no children. I'm so selfish. I said, I don't want no children. It'll mess up our relationship. You're my friend. You're my buddy. You do all the things I like to do. You have a baby, you'll just be a mom, and I'll be out. She said, what? I said, yeah, you'll just be a mom, and I'll be out, and we'll lose our friendship. So for 2 or 3 years, I'd come home. She'd be just crying. I'd say, am I that bad to live with? You should have just said yes. We got issues, Dan. We got to work them out. No, but she'd just cry. And I'd yell at her for crying. You know how we had our first child? It's so sad. I go in the home. She's crying. I catch her crying. She doesn't know I'm coming home. I came home unannounced before I was supposed to, and I walk in on her crying. She didn't have time to get herself together. So I catch her crying again. I said, every time I come in here, you just cry. Is it the baby thing again? Is this just all about the baby? She's like, well, I just didn't know that you never wanted children. I really wanted to be a mother. So you're crying because it's so if you have a baby, you'll just stop crying. And I said, good, fine. I grabbed her hand. I'm not joking. I grabbed her hand. I said, come on. Then let's just go have a baby. And my poor wife is going, really? Really? Come on. That's how we got pregnant. Oh, it was so powerful. So after 13 years of that, she didn't have the revelation we have now. She didn't have the understanding in God. So I just wore her out. She just went dry on me. Her battery went dead. But that happens to a lot of people. Why? Because we have dependencies on each other. We become each other's lifeline without saying it. And our lives depend on one another. Well, her lifeline went out. She got cold and hard. She didn't want to be married anymore. And I said, great. Why did I waste my 13 years with you? I could have done way better than you. That's what I told her. I remember going to the mirror, looking at myself and saying, you ain't the best looking cat on the planet, but somebody will need you. Cheer yourself on here. You can get through this. And I just refused to be hurt. And I was arrogant and selfish. And she shut herself down and decided she ain't crying. And she went in the bedroom. She told me all this later. She went in the bedroom that day. I said, well, I'm glad we're done. I'm glad you finally are ready to do this. Because she always said she didn't want to get divorced because her sisters were divorced. And she didn't want to be divorced and follow that pattern. She wanted her marriage to work. And I'm like, well, I'm glad we're finally at this point. I told her, you're nuts anyway. Your whole family knows I married somebody that's nuts. They all feel bad for me. That's how brutal I was. It's brutal. I saw her harden her heart. She went in the bedroom and she said, I'm done with him. I'm done with him. I'm done with that man. And then she looked up at the ceiling and she said, and I'm done with you too. She said, you have done nothing. I have prayed to you for 13 years. 13 years I prayed to you. You've done nothing. He's worse. You've allowed me and these kids to suffer through hell and you've done nothing. I don't need you either. That's the analytical side of man. People that understand pain understand her language. People that agree with pain agree what she was saying. And that led her way off, man. She went into arenas that she knew she'd never go in. She lived things she knew she'd never live. Why? Because unforgiveness changes you. Five months goes by. I get born again. She's livid because she prayed for 13 years. It's like a slap in the face. It's like our marriage is over, I'm done with God, and now you're supposed to be born again. So the night I get born again, my wife is so sweet, she's amazing. My wife is the best. She just was going through some unresolved stuff and it manipulates you. The night I got saved, she was at home. The kids were in bed. She was smoking a joint with a girl, my wife. This is fascinating. Smoking a joint with a girl. The girl brought it to the house and said, here, this will help. Ooh. And she's drinking a little mixed drink, smoking a joint, saying, you know, it'd be just like my husband to come home someday and say, I found the Lord. And the lady said, well, if he does that, don't you give in. These guys are all the same. They lose what they had and they realize how good it was. And they come crawling back and find a way to slide back in. Don't you open that door. Don't you ever let him back. No. What do I do? I ring the phone 15 minutes later. You can't make this stuff up. I ring the phone 15 minutes later. She said, what do you want? I said, I don't even know I am so overwhelmed right now. I'm just telling you, God is real. Click. Click. Probably got out the pipe now. Woo! I did some shotguns and everything at that point. We were trying to somehow live in the same house and keep our finances so that when this all happened, we weren't just with nothing. It was the most awful 5 months. It was so horrible. We didn't talk to each other. We were mean. The kids pay a price. She'd go out and wouldn't come back and tell me where she's going, so I felt stuck with my own children. As soon as she'd pull in the driveway, I'd slide out the side door, get in my truck, and take off because she was there. Now she's stuck. We lived that way for 5 months. Never communicated. It's awful. Slept in different rooms. That night I came home. She's waiting for me. Whew. She was upset. She would avoid me. She's quiet, timid. Not that night. I don't know where that button was, but it was pushed and... I never saw her tongue like that. It was like... That thing was... Her tongue was flying, man. I never seen her like that. She was sharp and calculated. It was like she was thinking for hours till I walked in and she just... She let me have it. She had it all figured out, she thought. So she went on a rampage and she decided, I'm going to go out of my way to hurt this man, break his heart, get him to snap on me so I can go, aha, and relieve my conscience. As if that has anything to do with anything. Ain't it something how we live through each other instead of live our lives in him? And all of a sudden, one man's weakness becomes our excuse for weakness. All of a sudden, you let sin against you give the right to produce sin instead of overcome evil with good. Ain't it something? Phew. 7 weeks goes by. She goes out of her way to break my heart. She goes out of her way to make me snap. I don't know how to. I'm in the room with Jesus, becoming love. He's real to me like never before. One day I come out from praying. She was waiting on me. I opened the door. Whoa. She said, you make me so sick. You live like the devil for 13 years. 13 years you live like the devil, and now you're in there praying to God like you're some holy man of God. I don't think so. I just filled with tears. I'd say, I can't even imagine how you must feel. I'm just sorry. And I try to get around her. One day she left for the weekend. She wasn't supposed to come home for 3 days. 6 hours later, she snuck in the back door. She's trying to catch me doing something. Just so she can go, aha, and relieve her conscience. She peeked around the corner. I saw movement. It was her little face. Guess what she caught me doing? I'm sitting in the living room Indian style with my 10 and 5-year-old. Have the Psalms open, teaching them what it means to worship Jesus. She caught me. She caught me for who I am, which shook her so bad. She took off up the steps. I said, what do you need? I'm fine. Boom, 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 out the back, gone. She said she was so mad, she was yelling at God the whole way up the road. 1 week later, she's in the bathroom. She's doing her hair. She's going to go out on the town. And Jesus walks in the bathroom. It's fascinating. She said she had the brush in her hand and she went, because he's standing there. She can't see him, but man, is he there. And she's just, he spoke to her and he called her by name. He said, Kim, why are you so angry with that man? Separating me from her anger. Why are you so angry with the man? Can't you see? She said it was like somebody tore something off her. Can't you see that's not the man you're angry with? In fact, Kim, that's not even the man you married. I have made him a brand new man. And I'm like, woo! I love that part of the story. It's my favorite part. Because God can't lie. He told my wife, I'm a brand new man. Guess what I am? I don't even got to try. I ain't even working it, girl. I'm just a brand new man. Woo! She collapses on the floor. Woo! She's done. She said fetal position. Woo! He hovers over her. Now he's making peace. Because 6 months before, done with you. He hovered over her. He said, Kim, it's true that you prayed to me for 13 years. But you don't understand how you bound my hands and kept me from ever answering your prayers. Kim, never once did you pray because of mercy or love, because you saw the value and potential of your husband. You only prayed because of your pain. You were reduced. Watch. You were reduced to another hurting wife that prays. How can I answer your prayer and empower you to stay there when that's not me? Woo! That's truth. I'm out in the yard. I'm working in the garden. I hear the door slam open. Bam! I see my wife running dead at me. She's just a little non-intimidating thing, but in those days, I wasn't sure. So I'm looking, knife, 9mm. I'm just looking, man. No, when I saw her coming, you know what I thought? She was crying so hard, I thought somebody died. I thought she got the phone call you never want to get, the phone call you're not ready for. I thought something happened bad, but something happened so good. She's running to me as fast as she can. I see her coming. She's going, I'm sorry. My wife is saying she's sorry. I'm insensitive for 13 years. I'm unloving. I'm so selfish, it's ridiculous. I had never once loved her or showed her affection or gave her anything. I just used her and needed her and wanted her. And she's running to me, sorry. Why? Because the gospel got her eyes off of me and got her eyes on her and her destiny and her calling. And all of a sudden, it wasn't about what I wasn't. It was about who she's created to be. Sorry. I was bothered by her sorry, because I'm, for the first time in my life, sincerely sorry. I want to make peace. I want to set this thing straight. I want to tell her I'm sorry. She's beaten me to the punch. Sorry. She goes, boom. She wraps around me, plants her little head, and I go, woo. And we're just, it was a mess. Woo! We're both bawling. It was ugly. Oh, it was ugly. I told her to stop saying she's sorry. What could she be sorry for? Kim, do you know how long I've been wanting to say I'm sorry? It bothers me to even hear you say you're sorry. I've been so unloving. She said, no, I'm so sorry. I said, what could you possibly be sorry for? She looked me right in the eyes, Pastor. She said, for not loving you in prayer. She said, God showed me I was reduced to a hurting wife, and I only ever prayed for you because I knew if God changed you, my day would be much better. She said, never once did I pray for you because of mercy. Never once did I pray for you because I knew you could be so much more than you were living. Never once did I pray for you because I loved you. I prayed because of pain. And God told me he couldn't let me stay there by answering that prayer. He needed me to change.
He's so good.
That's love.
He's so good.
And now I'm... I had known things in the spirit. I had seen things in visions. I was aware of things. God showed me he could show me anything because I'd respond like him. It was very humbling. I told her the things I saw and knew. She said, how did you know those things? I said, Jesus showed me so I could pray for you, believe for you, and love you. She said, well, this changes everything. I said, it changes nothing. Welcome home. And I just held her. And she said, you mean there's hope for our marriage? I said, are you kidding me? I'm finally ready and understand what it means to love you. And I said, can I renew my wedding vow to you? And she said, what? I said, I want to renew my wedding vow right now. I just didn't even know this was happening. It's very spontaneous. I'm 7 weeks old in the Lord. Can I renew my wedding vow to you? She said, okay. I just held her little shoulders and looked into her crying eyes. I was a mess. It was a mess. I said, you owe me nothing in this marriage. 7 weeks old in the Lord, this is the conviction that came out of my heart. This was the vow the Lord gave me for my wife. You owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I'll serve you in his unfailing love. She said, okay. So it sounds great. Sounds great. Sounds awesome. 2.5 years later, I'm already pastoring. Another year and a half into that, I see her shifting, changing, pulling back. We had a fairy tale marriage beyond what I knew was possible in the Holy Ghost. I can't take time to describe it beyond description. Fairy tale marriage. When you're in something for you, if that thing gets threatened, you're not happy. If you're in that thing for God and that thing gets threatened, you're just in that thing for God. You don't change when it changes because he's the same. Ooh, I hope you're getting this. She pulled back. I sat her down, talked to her. She started believing one lie. She said, people don't really love me. I said, what? They really don't. They just say hi to me because I'm with you. People love you. You're gifted. I'm not. You're called. I'm not. I'm just your wife. Good way to trash your identity. So she believed every encouragement was rhetorical. She believed every hi, Kim, was just surface. Protocol. And I watched this young lady called my wife's identity crash. And it seemed like no thing I could do. I'm traveling all over preaching identity. And I feel like I have no ability to encourage my own wife. I would stop at the kitchen and talk to her and hug her from behind and tell her things. And she'd say, well, you're supposed to tell me that. It doesn't mean it's true. It's a wretched thing, man. And Satan can start getting people to believe these things and crush what Jesus paid for. So here's my wife. Now I have a vow to her. I understand love. If you don't understand what I understand, after a while, you can't tolerate this. It gets on your nerves. I got a lot on my plate. I sure don't need pressure from my wife. You're supposed to be a helpmate, not a pressure and a burden. Come on, I've done counseling. I know what people say about each other. Well, how long does God expect me to have to put up with this? I don't think God put up with you. I don't think he tolerated you. I think he loves you. Yeah? I don't think he had preliminary meetings to see if he should let you go or not. I think where sin abounded, grace came greater. I think love never failed and mercy triumphed over judgment and love covered a multitude of sin. So if God was that to me, guess what I'm going to be to you and her? That same thing. So I don't know how to complain anymore because I don't have a problem. I have an answer. Yay. Yeah, but isn't that tough, brother? How long did this last? About 8 years. 8 years? Not a problem. Truth doesn't know time. So don't let time change truth. Heaven and earth's going to pass away.
Yes.
But his word remains. Make sure on that day you're living his word, not time. Well, you don't know what that put me through. Well, you don't know. Well, how long was I supposed to hold on? Come on, that's a sign of living for yourself, not his kingdom. Well, I need to move on with my life. Well, God doesn't expect me to waste my whole life just waiting around on them. I thought you gave your whole life to him. Yeah, he's preaching over there. Did you hear him? If you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you'll save it. 8 years. She wouldn't even come to church. I'm a full-time pastor. She wouldn't even come to church. Think of the pressures that could come along with that. The people, where's your wife? How's your wife? What's going on? Questions. No wife. You just showing up. She ain't nowhere to be found for a long time, like more than a year. All of a sudden, she starts saying, it'd be better if I'd be dead. Nobody'd miss me. I say, honey, stop. That sounds like you're going to draw weird attention to yourself. You don't need to talk like that. You don't even want to suggest those things. Your life is valuable. She said, well, it would be much easier for you if I wasn't here. I have to be a burden to you. I said, honey, do I look burdened? Are you kidding me? I do not wake up with you owing me anything. I am so blessed to be alive in Jesus. So I've lived this thing. I lived through this thing for 8 years of that. People don't understand. I'm so passionate about this because it's not my theology. I've lived this for 24 years. So my wife had a meltdown. She went into a violent seizure. The seizure lasted for an hour. It put her in a coma, and she had severe brain damage because of no blood to her brain. So all those words were trying to come to pass. And doctors said that we think she could die. We got to do some spinal fluid infection, da-da-da. We don't know what to do with your wife. We're in a waiting game, and it's very likely we could lose her. So I went in and laid hands on her and prayed for her to live, not die. I didn't say, oh, God, you're saving me from all this deception. Yay. I mean, I know. I'll just say, she'll be with you. She'll be fine. See, what you don't know is for 2 months, every time I went to pray, I heard this voice that says, I'm going to take your wife. It'll be better this way. You can run free. She just won't change. She'll be fine. She'll be at peace. So you be at peace. I'd hear it all the time for 2 months. I never addressed it. It was only when I went in my bedroom to pray, I'd hear that voice. When she's in the seizure, the voice said, well, this is what I was preparing you for. This is what I was telling you was going to happen. She's eating the fruit of her lips, for her stomach is full. Quoted Proverbs. Holding her big toe while she's in a violent seizure, growling like an animal in an asphyxiated position, crashing the bumpers of a bed. I said, Lord, I haven't addressed this voice one time for months. I hear it. It sounds like when you talk to me, it just doesn't sound like you. And I said, I need to hear in my heart what you're saying to me right now, because none of that sounds like you. And all I heard was the word mercy. And I realized this lion spirit was trying to get me to let go of my wife, of life and God, the power and authority of his name, and just say, well, God prepared me for this. And take the sword out of my hand. And I was like, oh. When I heard the word mercy, I was like, oh, my goodness. Just imagine if you don't walk close to him. Imagine if you don't steward your heart. This is pretty serious warfare. This is pretty heavy stuff. You better be at your best. You better be clear. You better not be cloudy. You better not have issues. This thing is for keeps. This thing is real. And it was trying to take my wife. Prayed over her. She woke up an hour and a half later. That's where we mess up. We pray our best prayer and she don't wake up and we think ain't nothing happening. So our next prayer has unbelief in it. Our third prayer is works and striving, and our fourth prayer, we're exasperated. Oh, I've been in that stuff with folks. I'm not praying to get a breakthrough. The stone's rolled away. I was praying what I believe. And when do you just believe? When it's your wife, you better not look at that too close. Thing will get in your eye gates, find its way here. You pop her eyes open, you can't even find her stare. She's not home. You have to look past that and speak kingdom. Yeah. She woke up an hour and a half later. They ran a full EEG, not one trace of brain damage. Watch. Watch. Just hold it. Just hold it for a minute. Watch. Who's a nurse? Who has a nursing background? Nursing. Anybody else? Yeah? Right here? Hour-long seizure. New EEG. Not one trace of seizure activity on the EEG. Not one trace of seizure activity in any readings of lingering seizure activity or former, and no trace of brain damage on the new EEG. It's not even possible. She wakes up. She's coherent. She's talking. They unhook her from all the stuff. I run in to see her because I'm in the shower, and the Lord said, go see her. Great increase. I go running in there. Doctor meets me. He starts to cry. He holds me. I just held him. I turn the corner, and there's my little wife sitting there, sweet little thing. She says, her voice is a little whispery from the trach too. I looked in, I said, hey. She said, hi. I said, oh my goodness, I just started to cry. I said, you are so beautiful. She said, really? I said, honey, I ain't talking about appearance. You're alive. You're right where you ought to be. I sat on the bed. She said, what happened? They said I had a seizure. I said, well, honey, you know how it's been a struggle with some of these things you've been saying and feeling, and you've been talking about dying and not being here, and be better if you'd be going. And that stuff tried to take them words and make it happen, girl. But I said, didn't work out that way. She went, she started crying. I'm like, what's going on? She said, you held on to me. You didn't let me go. I said, honey, you ain't going nowhere. I love you. Because she's believing her dying is a gift. Believing it. And that if she would die, I would benefit. So when I pray for her to live, the lie goes, uh-oh. And from that moment, Jesus walked her out of that 8-year delusional thing. My wife's doing amazing. She's great. But you know what's fun about it? On that day when I didn't see any of that ahead of us, you owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God for me. Unless, of course, you throw your identity away and act stupid and put me under pressure. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I'll serve you in his unfailing love. As long as you're positioned for it and deserve it. I mean, you know, marriage is a lot of work. It's 50-50. I mean, I got needs. You got needs. We'll do our best. Weird. It's not the gospel. That's flesh. The gospel is, I love you. Not, you love me. It's just, I love you. So, I got really late telling that testimony, but I felt like it was important for the room. Because nobody can take that testimony. That testimony is going to bring glory to Jesus forever. We're not a statistic. We didn't take account of suffer wrongs. We didn't decide on anything else but just, hey, let's love like Jesus loves. Let's lay down our life and let's give ourselves to one another. Everybody in this room can do that if you want to. If you start growing this way, it's easy. And all of a sudden, you wake up every day for the right reason to shine. Come hell, come high water, whatever comes down, dust storm. Come dust storm, come heat. I mean, you guys are on the doorstep of Hades itself. Like, you ought to rejoice and say, you know what? It's never going to get any hotter. For the Christian, this is as hot as it's going to get, baby. And we've made it up till now. We'll make it till the end. I checked your weather when I was coming. I checked your weather. It said 110 3 days in a row. I said to my wife, I said, they're living on the doorstep of Sheol. I said, they need repentance down there. How can you live that close to the fiery, burning embers of judgment and not repent? I gotta go preach repentance. I told my wife, I'm gonna preach repentance to these people. They're living in the fires of hell. 110 degrees. She was laughing. But I was gentle with you. I didn't preach that stuff. If you haven't been living this way, just go, oops, and say, man, today's the day to start. If you've been backslidden in your heart, say, duh. What was I doing? Why? Why was I so distracted? God, it doesn't even matter how I got there. It matters that I'm here. I don't need to call you up here. Learn to live within your own conscience, your own convictions. Be your own best steward of your heart. Be your best accountability partner. Don't need me to call you to check up on you and see how you're doing. You check up on you. Every day you wake up and every night you go to bed, you make sure you're doing good. You with me? Okay. Now, I got crazy late maybe for some of you. Am I crazy late for you guys? Listen, I use this excuse when I'm on Pacific time. You understand I'm on Eastern time. So it's 25 after 12. None of you have an excuse. It's 25 after 12. You see how I'm wearing down. You ain't never going to catch me. I got you by 3 hours. You'll never catch me. See, I'm going, man. Can we do something really quick? Can we pray for the sick? Will you be okay if we pray for the sick? You good with it? I think Jesus would like it. I do. I think Jesus would like it. So we're going to do it. We'll do it as quickly as we can, but effectively, okay? There's a lot of things we could do right now, but we're going to pray for the sick. I just feel like it's right. I do it a lot on Friday nights when I go into churches, and he doesn't tell me not to, so if I don't hear a no, I already got a yes. Some of us are looking for a yes. Wonder if you got one. Hey, should I go over and talk to them? Probably got a yes. Should I go pray for them? Probably got a yes. Lord, do you want me to go over and encourage them? It's probably a yes. Then you think about it and you weigh it and your own apprehensions become your possible no. Next thing you know, you're praying for them from the car. Just a thought. When you pray for the sick, I want everybody involved and engaged. So give me your attention. I know it's late. I'll do this as quickly as I can and we'll jump out of here. I mean, I flew here to preach this stuff and do all this. Just give me a little grace. Tomorrow morning we'll come back. If you can come back, come back. If you can, I'm going to be here. So it's just, I'm here, man. I'm committed for this weekend. I'm here because I want to be. Do you understand that? I'm not here because you're paying me a certain amount. Yeah. I'm here because I want to be. I actually told him about not taking an offering tonight. I didn't even feel like we needed to. I'm not here for that. I know he's putting the buckets back there and people might even want to give. I get it. I'm not saying he can't do that. What I'm saying is, it's not why I'm here. I'm here because I believe what I'm preaching. Yes. And I believe he paid this price for you. Yeah. And I may never even see some of you again. And I may never get to even know your name or talk to you personally. But I've looked into your faces and your eyes, and I know you're worth the blood of Jesus. If you're alive, it's because he said so. And it's just good to get on a plane and fly here and tell you all that stuff. Yeah? So this praying for the sick thing is amazing. So the number one reason people don't pray for the sick in their personal lives is because they're afraid nothing will happen. It's the number one reason. They're afraid nothing will happen. And then they're afraid they'll feel bad, look bad, misrepresent something, or where do I go from there? So the fear of nothing happening causes them to never pray for the sick, so they always have what they fear. They always have nothing because they never step out. You with me? So tonight we're going to step out. We're going to believe for people. When you pray for the sick, there's a lot of sicknesses, a lot of different definitions and descriptions, but there's two things you'll run into. You'll run into things that if somebody was healed, they wouldn't really know it because you were in line and you heard them talking about something that comes and goes. Let's take migraines. I use that when that's simple. Anybody ever hear somebody talking about something like a migraine and they say something like, boy, I'm just glad I didn't wake up with a migraine today. I thought today'd be the day, but it's coming soon. It's been hitting me almost every 8-10 days. I was just so glad that thing wasn't on me today. Do you ever hear anybody talking like that? Do you ever hear anybody just telling about stuff they're going through? And you know, boy, I got to do this tomorrow at work, and man, it's going to be rough. I hope I can make it through, because by the end of the day, I can't even stand back up when I sit. It gets my back so messed up. Do you hear people talk like that? But they didn't go do it yet, so they feel okay now, but they feel like it's coming. When you hear that, you just step out. You just say, hey, excuse me, ma'am. Not eavesdropping. We're waiting in line. I'm behind you. I just couldn't help but to hear what you just told that gentleman about the migraines. Yeah, oh, I was so glad I didn't have one today. Oh, I'm glad you didn't have one too, honey. Listen, I want to do something, okay? You can sneak attack them. I try to talk plain. I have friends that sneak attack. They'll say, can I just see your hand? And they'll say, what? It's not a trick, a joke. We're in a store. We're in a line. Come on, it's nothing weird. I just need to see your hand. They think you're going to read their palm or something. They don't know what you're going to do. And they hold out their hand. You just take them lightly by the fingers. Father, I thank you for your amazing, unstoppable love. Migraines, don't you ever come back. Pain, you never, ever touch her again. In Jesus' name. You keep it that sweet, and that quick, and that short. I say, listen, I couldn't help but to overhear what you're saying. Because I don't want them to think that I'm setting them up for anything. I just be honest and upright, give them a chance to say no. But I always tell them not to say no. I say, listen, ma'am, I couldn't help but to hear you, but the migraines, man, broke my heart. This thing just paralyzes you, knocks you out for a whole day. Oh, 24 hours, I'm just bedridden. I can't even function. Wow, that's, listen, man, I can't hear that, not offer this. I'm actually a Christian, man. I don't know what you think about that. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing or your view of Christian, but Jesus loves you and he loves people. And he told me if I believe and lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I would be honored if I could hold your hand and believe right now that migraine will never come back from this moment. And honey, you got nothing to lose. Because you're expecting it to. But if it never does, that'll be amazing. Please don't say no. And they don't say no. It's amazing. She'd be like, oh, well, okay. And you do it real quick. She's already nervous. She's already uncomfortable. She already feels focused on it. She's already wondering who's watching. And you don't make a scene. Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, fire! Ah! We like that fire thing. So you just gently, softly, Father, I just thank you for your amazing love for this woman. Migraines, you never, ever, ever touch her again. I command you in the authority of Jesus' name. Never come back. No more pain. Father, thank you because of your great love. By that time, I see people, they're so touched that you genuinely care. You ain't selling nothing. By that time, they realize you're either out of your mind or super sincere. When you walk away and still didn't ask for nothing, now they really got to deal with it. And it's amazing. On the other hand, it might be somebody that knows if they were healed because they got absolute symptoms. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have fun. It won't take terrible long. I know I'm getting late for some folks, but hey, you're just going out there to Hades. It's stay here, heaven on earth. This is amazing. Don't walk out the door and walk away from your calling. Don't go out there in the heat. No, don't do it, ladies. Don't go. We're going to pray for everybody that wants prayer tonight. Let's do it simple and quick this way. If you're sitting in this room and you have something going on in your life that's less than wholeness, but if you were healed, there'd actually be no way to testify other than simple faith in your heart. You'd not be able to, without exaggeration or music or hype, you wouldn't be able to check for symptoms. There's no symptom to check. It's something that comes and goes. You'd need a test to verify. You were a woman. You had your annual thing, and they said there was something going on inside, but you didn't even know until they said something like that. Migraines, things that you wouldn't know. If you were healed, you wouldn't know in the moment, but you have an ongoing condition that comes and goes, and there'd be no way to tell. That's the only hands I want to see right now. Just who is that? Who says I have a condition that fits that description? Come on, be bold. Don't sit there and not hold your hand. A few fit that description, please. Let's not come this far and then stop. Come on. Jesus is doing way too much to not get involved. Like, I'm having the time of my life watching how he moves. It's just so fun. And I'm just not under any pressure. Got your hands? If you're sitting near somebody, right near them, just give your hand up. Just tap them. Say, hey, give me your hand. I'm going to agree with you and believe with you. Come on. Just grab somebody's hand that has their hand up. Say, hey. Just if you're behind them, if you're in front of them, if you're beside them, just make contact with somebody. Make sure you make contact with them. Don't let them just sit there alone. Yeah? You got them? Somebody got somebody? That young man right there in the blue shirt. Does somebody got him? You got him, guys? Okay. So here's all I want you to do. If you raised your hand, here's all I want you to do. Believe God loves you or he'd never send his son. I want you to be that simple tonight. Don't get analytical. Well, if God loved me, how come I've been going through this for 7 years? No, 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 no. If God didn't love you, why would he send his son while you were yet a sinner? See, don't let your heart get crossed up. Whenever anybody in the Bible asked Jesus a question from the wrong heart, he always answered with a question to try to realign their heart. So just believe he loves you. The people praying, all I want you to do right now is just say, be whole in Jesus' name. No more symptoms, no reoccurrence, no more in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just thank you for wholeness all through this room. We thank you by a simple, sincere expression of faith. There's a move of your kingdom that there will be testimonies all through this room of people that say, man, I raised my hand in faith, and this thing never came back. Father, I thank you. Test results will show that. 10, 12, 14 days later will certainly reveal that. I thank you. Time will tell because you're good. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay, now listen. So, we just did that group, so what's our next group? People that would know if they were healed. You got a tore or something in your shoulder, you can't even lift your arm but this high. You got degenerate knees, and when you feel it when you walk. You got arthritis pains all through your body, and they ache in your joints, and you got a herniated disc, you got something growing, and you can feel it. There's stuff going on in people's lives that they can tell it's there because it has symptoms to it. Are you with me? So who in this room, if you were healed tonight, you would absolutely know it. You have something going on in your life, and if you were healed, you would know it. I need you to stand to your feet if you can. If you can't stand to your feet, make sure I know where you're at and go like this. Stand to your feet. The aisles are long. If you're in the middle somewhere, work your way out, kind of like on an airline. Just make your way through. Say, hey, got to go, got to catch my connection. Kind of make your way out. Get out in the aisle because we're going to do something. We're going to do something. These are my people standing. Raise your hands. Raise your hands real high if you stood up for that request. If you stood up and you said, I need prayer, and if I was healed, I would definitely know it, okay? That's a lot of folks. Now, that's a lot of hands. Keep your hand high. We're not praying yet, and you're not worshiping God. You're just being identified. Now, listen, I need your help. You didn't know this, maybe. The people sitting, I really need you to help. Look, that's a lot of people standing. The people sitting, you're my automatic prayer team. Now watch. If you're nervous and freaked out right now, that is amazingly good. And I really want you on my team if you're nervous. Because you won't be self-confident. You'll be nervous. And you could go to your person and say, I'm scared and I've never done this. And they'll say, praise the Lord. I want to teach you and I want to empower you. Now you watch and see what God does in this room in a minute. It's going to be fun. But I need you people sitting to help me. Now watch, you can't go wrong, you can't fail. I want you to get out of your seat, keep your hands up, and don't put them down until somebody lays claim to you. The people sitting, go say, hey, you're mine. Don't pray yet, just claim them and wait. Just claim them and wait. Go around, move around. As soon as they claim you, put your hand down. Put your hand down when somebody says, I'm gonna pray with you. Put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if nobody's claimed you yet. Hand up if nobody's claimed you. Look around, my people that are sitting that can help me, find a hand that's still up. We can do this. There's 1, 2, 3 hands in the back at the sound booth. Keep your hand high. Let me see you if you aren't claimed yet. You're not claimed yet. Go like this. It's hard to see. Is there one there? Can somebody make their way? I don't know where they are, but they said there's, oh, I got helpers everywhere. You guys are amazing. I thought the people standing kind of outnumbered people sitting, but apparently not, man. You guys were like, vroom. You guys might have pulled this off better than anyone I've ever seen. Is everybody covered? That's amazing. Now, I want you to be at peace if you're in the middle of this thinking, what am I getting myself into? If you're one of these people and you stood up for prayer and you said, you know, I'm not sure why I'm doing this. I said I'd never do this again because nothing ever changes.
I'm just really glad you stood up tonight.
I am. Because you don't turn faith into a point in time or a hit, miss, win, or lose. Faith is a position of your heart to believe what he paid for. Amen? So here's what I need you to do. Take 3 seconds. Ask the person what you're believing for. The general reason they stood up. Be specific, but don't be long. Don't tell them a life story. Just say, I tore my labrum, I got a rotator cuff, I got degenerate knees, just tell them what you stood up for. I can't hear out of one of my ears, or I can't see out of my left eye. Just 3 seconds, you should know. You good? Don't pray yet. Are you ready? You good? Everybody should know. Now here's the most awesome thing. This is what the Lord told me to teach. I'm a teacher. This is a teaching night. Watch. I'm only going to give you guys about 6 seconds to pray. It's not a joke. I'm not going to pray over top of you. I know you don't believe this, but I'm going to stay quiet for 6 seconds. I'll prove that I can. I'm just going to let you pray with your person. The reason I do this is, how many people you've prayed for the sick, and when you prayed for the sick, when I say this, you'll realize you've done this. You got more focused on what you were saying, how you were saying it, and trying to pray right, powerful, or anointed. None of those reasons are why people are healed. Your prayer never heals anybody. It's his finished work. It's you believing what he did. So watch, be healed in Jesus' name is plenty when there's a revelation of his finished work. When you're self-conscious and you pray, who's ever got self-conscious praying for the sick? Thinking about what you were praying and how you were sounding. That's the number one reason why everything shuts down before you even pray. Because if God would move, if that would move the Lord and he would move in that, it's teaching you to keep praying better. Or all of a sudden people would say, oh, you pray powerful. And next thing you know, it's about individuals in a prayer language instead of simple childlike faith. So I'm going to give you 6 seconds to pray because you can't get self-conscious in 6 seconds. And you really can't go wrong. Because if they told you they have arthritis symptoms in their body and aching in joints, watch. Arthritis, you leave their body, all pain, go now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your love. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds? Be sincere, to the point, faith will say to the mountain, move, and the mountain what? Say, yes, sir, and move. Who knows we can do this? Who knows that even if you never prayed for the sick, you can do this? Who knows that it's not because of a healing gifting or a healing anointing? It's just these signs follow those that believe. So I think we ought to move in the direction of belief. And that's why I'm proud of you for getting out of your chair and helping and standing up in the first place for prayer. You get it? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in a second here. We're going to pray for 6 seconds. It's not a legalistic thing. If you don't stop in 6 seconds, Holy Spirit's not going to leave your life or the room. I just want you to learn how to be specific and to the point and not make it about you at all. If you're in public, you can't afford to be like praying over people for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. You don't pray over their whole life and every nook and cranny. You just got it. They're already uncomfortable a lot of times. But I promise you tonight, when you see how easy this is, that you can do this and release faith, you'll be more inclined to do this with a coworker. You'll be more inclined to do this in a parking lot. You'd be more inclined to just be in a grocery store and look across and say, ma'am, is your wrist hurting? I saw you shake your hand when you lifted that juice can. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm afraid it's carpal tunnel. Does it hurt now? Oh, it's stinging all up through. Can I just see your hand for a second? Why? It's okay, honey. You ladies could get away with this so easy. You're just like, it's okay, honey. I'm just going to pray for you. You watch. You're going to love this. That's what I tell people. You're going to love this. Father, I just thank you for your amazing, unstoppable love. Pain, you leave. Come out of her right now. In Jesus' name. And she's gone, looking at you. You say, well, wonder if she doesn't. You've lost nothing. You're showing her you care and you believe and you're not turning faith into a point in time. Our biggest fear is that she says she's still in pain. My biggest fear is that we never step out in love. Oh, that's so good. Are you all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? I'm going to give you 6 seconds. When did you notice, as good as the worship team is and it's awesome and he's even sitting back there, but I didn't ask nobody to play. I didn't realize you were back there. You didn't touch nothing, man. Watch. I did it on purpose. Music's amazing. He's good. But watch. You don't have him with you in the parking lot. Sometimes you have your own feelings, your own fears, and your own challenges. It'd be great if he could go with us. And somebody would just pull that piano down across the lot, and he'd just be there flowing. You'd just be in the flow. People laying all over the lot. That would be awesome, but it's probably not the way it's going to work out. So we need to learn how to just live in the Holy Ghost in the moment. So I make the room about as dry as I can on purpose. Because none of that has anything to do with who he is and why he moves. I'm not trying to create atmosphere. The atmosphere is in you. It's called the kingdom. So you're going to pray 6 seconds. After 6 seconds, I'm going to stop you. You wind it down, Jesus' name. I always acknowledge God's love. Father, thank you for your great love. Because I think we don't receive his love enough in a healthy way. Then what I want you to do, without any exaggeration, without any hype, without trying to make, so this young girl, look at her. So she prays. She's just got them eyes. She prays for you, and then you go, oh, it's still kind of hurting. And she's like, does it feel better? Don't tell her, oh, yeah, doesn't hurt, because you don't want to make her feel bad. It's called lying. Amen. You're not protecting her. You're lying. So if you still have pain, you just say, well, you know, actually, it's still hurting, but I'm going to keep checking on it here. And you just stay, watch. What we're going to do is we're going to check her body. You say, you shouldn't be talking like that. That's doubt and unbelief. No, there's 3 things I see in my life when I pray for the sick. I see things change immediately. I see things change somewhat. And I see things just sit there like they didn't change at all. I see all 3 of those things. What I'm learning is to never change what I believe and strive and never let that decide what's happening. So if you're in any of those 3 groups, the first group's a no-brainer. Woo-hoo! Wow! That's easy. The second group is even encouraging for people because they like results. They're like, whoa, I'm like 60% better. Whoa. And some people aren't even expecting to change. So when they're 60% better, they're like, whoa. And then other people go, man, ain't nothing changed with me. If you prayed for them and nothing changed, you just encourage them to say, listen, let's hear a few testimonies. You keep checking your body. Here's what I want you to do tonight. If nothing changes in your body, don't you jump ship and don't you change. Say, wow, Father, I thank you. You're a healer, and I thank you for what you're doing. Listen to a few testimonies. Stay thankful. Don't say, wonder what I'm doing wrong. Man, listen to that. Wow, why am I never healed? Something must be blocking my healing. And now you're just zzz, 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 zzz. Shh, not tonight. No permission. Got one response. Wow, Father, thanks for what you're doing to me. Thanks for what you're doing in this room. You're so good. You're such a healer. And then check that thing again. And then listen to a testimony. Check that thing again. Like popcorn in a bag. I'm telling you. Boom, 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 boom. And you'll see a few hands going, whoa. And we'll take a few testimonies. And all of a sudden you'll say, well, where are all them hands come from? And then all them hands. Why? It's because it's just simple. We're not going to change our mind. We're going to stay simple. You do what you do. You are who you are, and you love me. Thanks for what you're doing, God. And you're not signing off. You're not cutting out. You're not leaving discouraged. And, man, I am never standing up again. Are you hearing me? See, I've been around us. I know what happens. You all ready? You watch and see what he does in this room. It'll be fun. I'm going to say nothing for about 6 seconds, and then I'll say, okay, guys, wrap it up. And then I want you to take your time, check your bodies. As soon as you know you're healed, you make sure you let us know and just go like this and let us know. As soon as you know you're healed, I want to know who you are. And we'll go from there, and we'll do this as quickly as we can, but as effectively. You all ready? Look at your person with like googly eyes, like they're really special. The blood of Jesus was shed for them. Like you really care, love them, like they're special. Yeah? Okay? Are you ready? You ready? Go ahead and give them the kingdom for 6 seconds. Pray that situation. Tell it to never come back. Go ahead. 6 seconds. Okay. That's really good. Just start wrapping that up. Just wrap that up in Jesus' name. Wow, thank you, Father. Yep, and just acknowledge God's love. Before you check your body, you can just thank God he loves you. Thank God he loves you. Go ahead, check your bodies all over the room. Take your time, really check them. I don't want exaggeration. I want what's going on. As soon as you know you're healed, go like this. As soon as you know it changed, go like this. Check your body, make sure you know. Go like this when you know you're healed, when you know for sure. Okay? Yeah? You got three right here? Got one there? Good. Anybody? Anybody else? Go like this. I need you to work with me. Yeah? Right here and here? Good? Yeah? I see a happy face back there. That's good. For sure? Changed. Good. Yeah, there's another one. Stay with us here. Check your bodies. Let's listen to a couple of these real quick. Who? What happened to you? Huh? It just opened up. Things are different. You know it because you know what it's been like. How long has that been going on? 20 years? Have you ever felt the liberty you're experiencing right now? Like the freedom? Like without meds or anything or just pure? Good, good, good. That's amazing. Who else raised their hand?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Did you try it? And you did? She fell. She injured her knee. She couldn't kneel. She couldn't. There was certain, like, getting down. And it was just too much pain. It would burn if she put pressure on. That's completely gone. Like, completely. And you've checked it. Yep. Okay, but that burning thing—that thing that was always there—was it always there? You could find that. No, no. But what I mean is, if you looked for it, it would have showed up. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's amazing. Who? Right here? Tell us what happened so they can hear you. Just pay attention. Let's just listen and be thankful. Do we need to turn that on? Turn it on. Is there a switch? You got it. Go ahead.
I came to Christ a couple of years ago after being healed from a 104-car pileup, but there were still injuries that weren't healed, like my elbow and a little stiffness. And I was healed from my elbow and also some things that weren't even prayed for.
Right now?
Right now.
So you had things going on in your body that were very noticeable to you.
Yeah.
They're gone.
I'm good.
Completely gone.
I'm good.
No, I believe you. Look at your face. Oh, that's amazing. If you were checking your body and it didn't feel all the way changed or any change, just celebrate with her and thank God he's a healer. And then begin to check your own body. Every time you hear a testimony, just check your own body, okay? Who else knows they were healed? For sure? Yeah?
Yeah, I have a number of issues, but my hips and low back have been really excruciating a lot lately. And if I sit a long time, like I have
like
now,
I kept you sitting a long time.
When I get up, it hurts. And it stopped hurting. Now, I do have some other issues, my hearing I need, and I'm expecting to get it.
Okay.
My balance.
Okay. So you, but you felt liberty in what? Hip, body stuff, ways? Yeah? Stretch your hands. We're going to pray for her hearing. Yeah, stretch your hands to her. Stretch your hands. Who prayed for her? Who prayed for her? Pray for her hearing right now to just completely hear. Just say, ears here. Yeah. Ears here. No deafness. No lack of hearing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. How would you test your ears? How would you know to check your ears? What could you do to check your ears?
I don't know. I was in a healing meeting this weekend, and I took my hearing aids out on Saturday night.
Okay.
So I can hear, but not perfectly yet. And to do the things God wants me to do, I got to hear perfectly. I got a free Hebrew class coming up next week.
Okay. Well, when you say not hear perfectly, what's that mean to you? What, like if somebody would take you over in a corner somewhere and stand behind you and talk soft, would you be able to hear that normally or not? If they'd stand behind you and just talk.
Even if they're talking normally sometimes, I can't. This is my point I've done.
Okay. Do you know about where her hearing was? Do you know how what she could and couldn't hear? And did you like talk to her at a certain tone, or how's that all work?
Just sometimes I just can't tell what she's saying. And she's got a Tanzanian accent.
Why don't one of you take her over in a corner somewhere? Just stand behind her and talk soft and just see what happens there. Test that out. Will you go? Will you do it? Who else? Who knows something happened? You want to share it real quick, and we're going to move on here and be done. Yeah? Let me see your hands. If you know you were healed when we prayed. Yeah? Wow, look at this. Boom, boom, boom. This is good. What happened, man?
I could barely walk when I came in here.
Barely walk.
My knee was shot. It's been out. I couldn't walk the other day. My knee was excruciating pain. Got torn rotator cuff, kidney, stays kidney, torn rotator cuff, detached bicep, arthritis, bad knee, run over by a drunk, mental issues. I got run over by a drunk.
Okay. Well, what's going on? Why are you going like this? What changed?
Okay. I also had some muscle spasm in my back that's been killing me for about 5 days. Okay. That, before we even started, I could tell.
Yeah, it's your body.
Yeah.
I just want all of us to understand.
The muscle relaxed, okay?
This thing changed?
Moving my arm.
You couldn't do that?
Couldn't do that.
You couldn't just go like that?
Look at this.
You couldn't put pressure moving around?
No, I was in agony.
No, I believe you. I just want us to understand.
Yeah, no, it's like...
See, people are excited when they sell because it's their body. They know what they've been experiencing. You see how ramped he is? Because he knows something's different, right? And I'm just trying to get him to explain so we can appreciate that something really did happen.
Trying to have the usher help him just stay on the very back so he wouldn't have to come down. And yeah!
He tried to get you to...
Yeah.
So he tried to stay back there?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. You brought him up. Good, usher. Wow. Father, we just thank you for a total, absolute restoration that none of these things will ever return. We just thank you for blessing him, God, and totally making him whole because you love him. In Jesus' name. Who else? Let me take another testimony. You know you were healed. Yeah? Let's do this. I think you got a soft voice, don't you? We get you mic'd up.
I had a piece of grit in my eye for about the last 30 minutes, and it was like a piece of salt, and it was very painful. It wasn't going away. It's now gone. Yeah.
You mean one of them just irritating, try to get it, and it just always bugging you? And what happened? They prayed and it just gone?
No, it went away slowly.
Okay, when they prayed.
It took a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Now, I'm a neurologist.
Retired neurologist.
With status epilepticus, which is what your wife's seizure of an hour. You know, the likelihood of living after that is about 20%. 80% die.
They were talking. They didn't know if she was going to live.
Right.
She's doing good.
That's a miracle unto itself. That's definitely a miracle.
Awesome. So you can bear witness to that as a doctor.
Now, she was paralyzed. For 10 years, we prayed, and my wife was there. Her was there, and
we prayed
she walked.
She walked.
For the next 15 years.
Listen, guys, if we don't pray, we know we got nothing. That's what are we learning here at best? Let's just step out and get some seeds in the ground. Let's start believing God, and let's be the believer end of the scripture so that these signs can follow. You see what I'm saying? Watch. We can do this in him because he said so. So it's not presumptuous. It's his word. So let me see your hands real quick. If you were healed when we prayed or you were definitely changed. Healed or definitely changed, maybe not all the way, but you know something. Hold your hands up high and let me see this. Okay, look around, guys. Look around. That's beautiful. If we don't step out and do this, believe like this, we don't have the hands. You see what I'm saying? Now we're going to wrap this up with this. If your body did not change at all yet, and you've been checking it the whole time, keeping a right heart, and it's still the same as when we prayed the first time, I want to see your hands. And don't be ashamed. This is the one we don't talk about. And then people leave and think, what did I do wrong? Well, it's not doing anything wrong. We're in position to believe God. You have something in your body you were prayed for, and nothing changed up until now. Is your person still here? Look around. Don't say, well, I need another person. Don't do that. Don't be like, I want them girls over here, man. They got a rally going. No, we teach this stuff. We teach that stuff. No, here. I don't want you to get a new person. I want your same person to go find that person. Lift your hands up. Leave your hand up. If your person's there, say, hey, that was my person. Go find your person. Everybody got their person? Now listen, this is important. You watch and see what he teaches us. Watch. See, I'm getting fired up now. Watch this. You say, you've been fired up. No, I'm feeling this. Watch. Don't change your prayer. Pray the same general thing you prayed the first time. Don't grab for straws. Don't get caught in works. Just pray the same thing you believed because you believe it. And tell that pain to go and not come back and thank Jesus or thank God for his love in Jesus' name. Will you? Right now, let's do this. This is only the people that nothing changed. We're going to pray 6 more seconds. Go for it right now. Pray for them right now. Jesus' name. That's good. Wind that down in Jesus' name and thank God for his great love. Now, if you're being prayed for, just thank God that he absolutely loves you, that you believe it or he would not have sent his son. Jesus' name. Amen? Now, here's what I need you to do. This is only my group that said nothing changed yet. I need you to start checking your bodies for me right now. Whatever that means, check it. And tell me if anything changed that time, as soon as you know. This is my group where nothing changed up until now, all this time of testimonies and checking. Check your bodies right now. Anybody change? Let me see who you are if something changed that time out of my group. Wave your arm so I can see you if you're waving. You did? You changed that time? You hadn't changed up until now the whole time, and that time it changed? What's that? Just now. Yeah, and it's going? Oh, that's so beautiful. She said, yes. Okay, good. Just teaching us what? Don't change what you believe. Don't turn faith into a point in time. Don't make faith a hit, miss, win, or lose. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Let faith be the position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. Something changed that time? What's that? Something changed? You still had it the whole time up until that time? And right then when they prayed, it left? So that would have been hard? Okay. Anybody else? You changed that last time we prayed and you hadn't changed up until now. I want to see who you are if you're here. Let me see who you are if you're here. Check your bodies. Am I missing anybody? Go like this. Yeah? Something shifted? Changed? What happened? Just okay, so there was something going on there. Do you know what that's from, what it is? It's just obvious to you. oh, some kind of allergy thing. So as they prayed, it still felt that way. And now it's just easing. It's changing. Okay, here's what we're going to close with. And I know it's late. Here's what we're going to close with, guys. When you get prayer, whether it changes completely, somewhat, or not at all, Christians have one response, and it's always the same. Father, thank you that you love me. I so appreciate what you're doing in my body and in my life. You are so good to me. Thank you for loving me. You crawl in bed, thank you for loving me. You wake up in the morning, God, I worship you and thank you for loving me. Don't get in a quandary. Don't let questions cloud out what your heart knows. Don't turn on that analytical thing. Just camp right here. I'm going to bless this time and just say some things that are in my heart, and then you guys are free to roll. And I just thanks for your patience. I know I got long. Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for everything you've said, everything you're doing. And Lord God, these people we prayed for, I just thank you for healings, restorations. I thank you that things keep increasing. Those that had percentages of change, I thank you you're an 100% God, and you're just doing a work in them. People that felt like nothing changed even up till now, I just thank you that change is happening in their bodies. That God, we lay our hands on the sick and we believe and they recover. We just believe that, Lord. And we thank you for your goodness working in their lives and working in their bodies. Thank you for the message. Thank you for transformation and change. And most of all, just thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.